Good.
Would you open your Bibles, please, to our text tonight, which is up on the board there. Let's go to Jeremiah as we look at the prophet of the old paths. The prophet of the old paths from the book of Jeremiah. And here we see a very interesting person. And his life is revealed very much throughout his book. Unlike the other prophets, he gets very personal and shares with us his heart and his experience. But here, as we come to the chapter number 6, we see that there is a challenge and a call through Jeremiah to the people. And that is a call to the old paths, a call to the old paths. I'm not going to be speaking on the old paths exactly tonight, although we will touch on that. I'll be bringing another message on Friday morning, God willing. We'll see how the Lord works that out. It's in the Lord's hands, but we may be able to get further into it in that point. But look at verse number 16 there, please. Look at verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, and this is something that Jeremiah often said, thus saith the Lord. Listen to what God has to say. Stand ye in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they say, and this is tragedy here, but they say, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. The call here from the prophet is to pray for the old paths. And in that call, he is challenging them as a nation and as a people in their religion and all aspects of their life to turn to the Lord and seek the Lord in their lives and walk in the ways of God, walk in the ways of God, particularly the ways of God that are outlined for us in the Word of God. For us in the New Testament, our call is similar. Go to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And this is a similar thought here. This is the New Testament equivalency, if you like. And here it is from the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, Jesus said. And then in chapter 15 of John, he asked them to abide in him and to continue in relationship with him. The call of the prophet here is a call to a relationship with God, a walk with God, to hear the word of God, to respond in obedience to the word of God and to do the Lord's will and to do the Lord's bidding. For us, our old paths begin at the cross. They begin at the point of our salvation when we came to Christ and received him, but they are to continue. Now, Jeremiah the prophet came in perilous times. He came and stood with a message in difficult times. We see that he began as just a young prophet. he comes to the prophet's task as a young man. We are seeing some young men graduate from the college program, and they are called upon to go forward and serve the Lord and give out the word of the living God. They are called upon to serve the Lord in difficult times. Now, this indeed was a perilous time, a very difficult time for the man of God. Could I have a little bit more volume on there, please? Move that up. That's old fashioned. I thought you had new technology back there. Thank you. So the call from the prophet here is to follow the Lord, walk in the old paths. Now, he was called upon to preach this message in the last 40 years of Israel's history. Under five bad kings and one invading nation, Babylon, who came and overran and destroyed all that was in Jerusalem and all that was of God. You see, this came to Jeremiah at a time that he was to announce to the people what was going to happen. It was his calling to announce to them that the enemy was coming in and that all that they held dear to was going to be torn up. It's going to be torn down and dissipated and driven aside. The call from God was through the prophet was to repent, to get right with God, and to walk in the ways of God. God had promised as the covenant God that if they would do that, he would then turn and bless them. But if they failed to turn back to the Lord and go in his ways, then judgment would come upon them. And the theme of the book of Jeremiah is the judgment of God on Judah and Israel. The judgment of God. The enemy from the north was going to invade. Terrible times, people being killed, families destroyed, the worship of God driven apart. But you see, they had first given up on God themselves. They had first turned from the Lord, and the result of that was terrible. So it was a very hard task that Jeremiah was called to do. I say to you that the way the world is today, those of you who are looking at the ministry and seeking to be involved in ministry, I say to you, these are hard days. These are difficult days. These are perilous times. These are days of flux and change and of all kinds of evil coming in into society. These are terrible days. And imagine the prophet has to announce this to the people. Go to chapter 3 and verse 12. Let's get moving in this message. Go and proclaim these words toward the north. Say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Bringing this message to them, telling them to repent, telling them to get into the ways of God, to avoid judgment, was a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. And yet that is what the preacher is called. Young people today who are looking at ministry are called into a difficult time in history where there are unprecedented things happening and where we need wisdom from God. So this young preacher is called to God's work, to challenge the people to walk in God's ways, to establish pure worship and godliness in their families, in their lives, and to follow God's leading. It wasn't an easy task, and it met with opposition. And let me say that that is the case. In these modern times, the preacher of the Word of God meets with opposition, sometimes from his very own people, particularly his own family, and then it could be in his realm of friends, if he has any left after choosing the ministry, after being led and called in the ministry. And yet God is faithful. So here we find him in chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13. These first chapters, it's heart-rending to even just to read them, let alone to think what it would have been like for him to be there at the time and to be a witness to this unravelling of his people and of his nation because of their sin. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. If thou wilt return unto the Lord, return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Here God says, if you get right, if you get right, I will not remove you from your land. I will not bring judgment and devastation in your land. God is a God of judgment. And one of the things that you discover in the old paths is the character of God and the nature of God. This man of God knew God. He knew God, and he knew the voice of God, and he knew the character of God. And he had to announce judgment and destruction upon his people. His motive was questioned. His message was rejected. And he was most unpopular. Hey, young man called to the ministry, you're going to have to put up with it. Amen. I'm not... I like to encourage the saints of God. There's a lot in the first part of this message that's just plain discouraging. I've spent weeks over this message and studying this man and this book. And I said at one stage, Lord, this is too much for me. It's too much. I mean, the message that he had was a message about their relationship with God, but also it was a message to the leaders of the nation. Can you imagine me over there? Well, let's say Jeremiah in Canberra, standing on the steps of Parliament, crying out, repent, repent. There's a terror from the north coming down. There's a plague from the south coming up. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how it would be received? The Prime Minister has some kind of Christian profession, but I wonder how he would even go handling a message such as that. But that's the kind of message, that's the kind of time, that's the perilous times that Jeremiah came to minister to the people of God and to bring a warning of judgment to come. They had committed two evils according to chapter 1. There's so much in these first chapters that sets the whole scene for this judgment that is to come. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Broken cisterns. They had forsaken the living waters of God and his word and his character and his nature. They had forsaken him who had brought them out of Egypt into the land, who had blessed them with a land flowing with milk and honey, who had placed upon them so many blessings and given them such wonderful leadership and such wonderful leaders from time to time. Unfortunately, they were now suffering from their partial revival that they had under the old prophet. And they had a partial revival, but now things were going downhill. When the effects of Josiah's revival wore off, the nation plunged on in unbelief, and Jeremiah was called to warn the people of impending judgment. The great theme that runs through the book is that of judgment against Judah because of, listen to it, idolatry. Idolatry. The people deserved the punishment of God. Even in his call, it was intimated to Jeremiah that his message would be one of condemnation rather than salvation. But what he was trying to tell them was to repent, to get right with God and prepare themselves and to do the right thing in the Christian life and to follow the old paths and pray for them that God would bless them. So Jeremiah came at a difficult time. We are called upon to serve the Lord in difficult days. It is not time to give up. It is not time to throw in the towel. It is not time to feel sorry for ourselves and be filled with self-pity. Oh dear, the COVID's come, so COVIDs will come and go, let me say. Viruses will come and go across the planet. And God will allow the judgment in the last days. We see all sorts of things taking place in the last days. But we're not in the tribulation, amen? And we're not going to be around for the tribulation, okay? So get that right. Get that right. Jesus taught that we would be out of here during the tribulation. I said Jesus taught it. And by the way, Paul did not teach Calvinism. Paul did not preach Calvinism, even though it is in its new form now, you know. It's improved. It hasn't improved. And it will, as my college principal used to say, it will galvanize everything that it hits. Freeze it all down and cover it all over. Those little things didn't cost you anything. I'm not supposed to digress. I've got to get these 8 points. But our brother gave such a lengthy testimony, I can give a lengthy sermon, amen? Whoa. Well, for those of you that have been praying, I feel like I can continue in this message. Because for a moment, I was not feeling at all well. But thank you, Lord. Okay, go to point number two then, the prophet's position. The prophet's position. Let's have a look at this. And this is amazing, this young prophet. I love to be around young people, amen? Young prophets in particular and young people in general. I thank God tonight we had young people singing, young people doing the music. Amen, Brother Weston? Organ was whirring away there. Praise God, and that's good. Jeremiah comes to this scene as a very young person. In fact, look at verse number 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God had a plan for this man to be the prophet of his time. God had a plan, and God worked on that plan, notice, while he was being formed in his mother's tummy, as it were. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Listen, folks, young people can be saved. Children can be saved. They can also surrender to the ministry of God. And many great ministers of God down through the church age surrendered to Christ at the age of 5 for the ministry and lived in that ministry till the day they died. And we find that this man then was young. He was called of God. God said he sanctified him. That means that he set him apart. And he said, Jeremiah, this is your life work. This is your life work. Not just a drop in the bucket. Not just a few moments. But his life. God put him aside into the ministry, as it were. He ordained him as well, so he commissioned him. So he was sanctified, set apart, and holy unto the Lord. Holy, and that's important. spell it both ways, and they're both important. If you can do your spelling. Okay, get it? H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-Y, holy and holy. It's what we need, everything. Give everything to God. So this man then was ordained a prophet to, notice what it says there in verse 5, the nations. Imagine this young preacher, and God is now making it clear to him as he grows up from a young age that he's going to be a prophet to nations. He's going to have a ministry. And if you look at the prophecies that he gave against this, more than 46 nations that are mentioned in this book where he has a prophecy for them. And by the way, some of those prophecies are still not completely fulfilled, but we can see them coming, amen? We can see it coming, and the Lord, the righteous branch, his coming is spoken of in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah knew the Lord. He knew the Saviour. He knew the Christ of God, and was greatly encouraged in that. So he comes in an unusual time, in a difficult time, and his position is to be a prophet of God. He was not just to be a mealy-mouthed sissy baby, bringing sweet platitudes to God's people and giving them all a pat on the back and a hug. He was not called to the huggy ministry. Okay? Dear Lebanese brother preacher tried to give me a hug after I had my pacemaker fitted. And I said, oh, brother, you want to get a shock, you get one. But anyway, however, he did hug me and it didn't happen. But anyway, on the other hand, you know what I mean. A man's man that is faithful and true to the ministry of the word of God and is not afraid to call a spade, to talk about judgment if it's coming, to warn people about the dangers of their sin and the outcome of their sin. The role of the prophet is to make it clear that there is a link between the lifestyle and the outcomes. Amen? They seem to have forgotten that. There is a link between the lifestyle and the outcomes. And it's shocking the way things are going at the moment, and the full-term abortions already been accepted in New Zealand. A good reason to come to Auslan, but will we withstand it here? What a wicked thing. What a wicked thing that is. Well, we could get off on that. There's so many things that have gone into legislation that are nothing but sinful, wicked and ungodly, and will destroy a good nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to every people. It doesn't matter where they are. And these people that have gone off into their progressive ways and made the churches into a rock scene and brought into all sort of technologies that have led them into ungodliness and so forth. It's amazing how destructive that stuff is in a very short time. I know 80 believers that took off for a drinking church. That took off for a drinking church. I'm a witness to what happened. They went into the drinking church, was started a brand new church, right in the middle of the wine growing area. They wanted Mr. Hardy to come in. He never came in, by the way. But what happened to them? After 4 years, the whole thing evaporated. I've just told you a little bit of my life story, which I said to my wife, I'm not going to digress. She said, are you going to be in tears? I said, I'll try not to. I'll keep away from some of that. But, you know, you can see, you can feel the prophet. He had two things in a vision that God gave him, a vision of the almond rod blossoming in chapter 1 and verse 11, and of the seething pot, the seething cauldron, which was the trouble from the north and the overflowing of the judgment of God on the nation, the burning and judging of these people for their ungodliness. So he was given this amazing call to be a prophet of God in his day. You know, and as you read through all of these chapters of the book of Jeremiah, you get to the end where he was carried off into Egypt by the Jews, when he warned them not to go there. Everything that Jeremiah warned them not to do, hey, guess what they did? The opposite. They did everything the opposite, and they maligned him, but he continued faithful. And history tells us, and tradition tells us, that he was stoned to death in Egypt by the Jews. Can you imagine that? And yet in the New Testament, he is spoken of as one of the greatest prophets of God. During his life, he was treated as nobody. And he was an annoyance and a nuisance to them. But after he was gone, he's an amazing. Like many great men, Jeremiah was despised in his life, but applauded in death. What about that? So he lived and died for the Lord. He would rather cry than compromise. He stood for God as the weeping prophet to the people of God, uncompromising. Now we see that God promises to protect his servant. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 17. Have a look at chapter 1, 17. He was promised by the Lord protection. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. That's the job of the minister of the word of God, to preach all that God commands. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Don't even look at their faces, just preach it, buddy. They're a mean-looking bunch. Sometimes you get that. But he was to preach the word of God. He wasn't to worry about the responses he got. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise, speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. Notice what God says in verse 18. This is very interesting. Behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, five wicked kings, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, corrupt priests and corrupt prophets. Therefore, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I am with thee. Oh, thank God for that truth. The Lord is with us. He is indwelling us, and he is with us. God promised to protect his servant, and he protected him until around about the year 85, until the age of 85 or so. So, youngster, you're just a spring chicken, as my mother used to say. God can protect you all of your days. Just give yourself completely into his hands. So here we come to the text. It took a while to come to the text, amen. I'm supposed to be hastening in this sermon. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. Now, the young prophet, you can imagine, the people were confused. There was derision everywhere. Everything seemed to be going the wrong way, going a bit like 2000, amen. A bit like the year 2000. Everything seemed to be going. And the man of God now, the young prophet, Lord, what will I do? What are the people to do? So God gives the young prophet direction that stands firm today and is the best direction that you could have in your life as a preacher of the word of God or as a believer in Christ. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. What do you need to put on top of your prayer list, beloved? Ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. Oh, where is the good way? and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, on one of my recent trips to the US, praise God, the Lord provided the whole thing. I was taken over to Amish territory, the Amish peoples. And we went around among them to see what was going on there. Now, this call for the old paths is not a call to be old-fashioned, although they've mastered what old-fashioned is with their $100,000 buggies with alternators on them and everything. And their huge gas bottles, they can use flame, they can use metal, iron, flame, and handicrafts and timber and all. And they do it with absolute beautiful quality. They do all of that. And they're amazing. But this is not a call to be old-fashioned, believe it or not. There are a number of words in the Hebrew that are used for old. And there is one word that which means old and worn out and disregarded, okay? Not useful anymore. And not necessary anymore. There is another one that probably refers to old people. Anyway, we won't go there. But then this word is a different word again. Elam. And this means things that are old but eternal. Things that are, we would probably say, everlasting. Seek the things which are everlasting. The things which are of God. The things that are eternal. The truths that are continuously eternal that come from a long way back. We are to continue in our walk with God and our knowledge of the Lord. So there is a call for us to be in the old ways, to be in the old paths. For us, the old ways begin with our Saviour and his ministry. They continue on through the ministry of the apostles and then through the believers of the centuries who have continued with the Lord. The timeless truths of the eternal God need to be held to. The paths and the ways of holiness, the way to live, the way to walk, need to be upheld. And we need to be warned against the things which would lead us off of the track. Maybe I'll talk about that more in the next message that I bring. And ye shall find rest to your souls, but they say, we will not walk therein. It's a sad indictment of modern Christianity. They don't want to walk in the old ways. They don't want to walk in the ways of God. The Uniting Church is a typical example, friends, of an ungodly group, of a gay crowd that have taken over the very heart and internal workings of it. And some Bible believers who should have left years ago are now getting serious about leaving. They should have left a long time ago, and many of them have. But to go that way is just ungodly, isn't it? And we see so much of that in religion today. Then there are these big places with the black walls and the lights that splash, the strobe lights and the smoke and the mirrors that flash, and the mush pit where they come down and all over each other. Carnality. Carnality at its best. And yet that is promoted as the way we should go. Young minister, when you're thinking about your orientation in the ministry, think this way, old paths. Think old paths. So, well, I wonder about this music, you know, maybe we could warm it up a bit, you know. Don't be so foolish. You won't warm anything up, you'll cool down toward the living God, apart from the rubbish that's in those sort of things. Don't orientate yourself towards the modern trends and the things that are going on around about. No, this is what is happening. People are changing. And the preacher is made aware of the changes that are taking place, and he says this in chapter 2, verse 36. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. You're going down to Egypt, you'll be ashamed of what you see down there. And Egypt was a nasty place for God's people. Spoke of the wrong place, the wrong time. So the man of God then is called upon to challenge the people about the old paths. I'm here tonight to challenge you in the same way. And if you don't know what the old paths are, well, watch this space. I'm sure Pastor Simeon is going to be more descriptive of what the old paths Bible College is about, isn't he? And we may need to help him a bit with that one. I said, have you got anything written down, brother, on the old paths? And not yet, but he's following the old paths. And the courses that have been taught are all old paths. You've got no worries about that. Thank God for faithful men. Thank God. So it is that he was called upon then in a difficult time to bring the message and to call upon the people for the old paths. I'm calling you the same way through the word of God tonight. Come unto me, said Jesus. Follow me. Do it his way, in his will. Don't be swept off your feet by these modern trends that are taking place. We've seen and witnessed whole churches wiped out by that modern stuff. Whole churches, I was reading in that history book of Dr. Cloud's, new history book he's put out, talks about churches without number that once ran thousands of people, and now they brought in the rock and roll, made a rock and roll show of it and all the rest of it, out with the word of God, in with all the modern trends, and those places are no more. Or else they're just like a rock concert and they have no value to believing people. And believing people are leaving them and seeking out the old paths. So we see the prophet's persistence all through his lifetime. I haven't got time to back everything with scripture. We'd be here for a long time. But you'll have to believe me and read the book of Jeremiah yourself. You find it quite easy to get to 50 chapters of Jeremiah. No, it's going to be hard for you. But we see the prophet persisted. Even when he was taken away down into Egypt, over around about 80 years old, he was still preaching. Even in Egypt, Jeremiah continued trying to turn the rebellious people to the Lord. Now between 70 and 80 years old, the prophet delivered his last predictions. So he brought the word of God and he was taken out to glory real quick. But thank God, it's a beautiful place. Heaven is a beautiful place. They threatened Jeremiah a number of times with death. Like old John Rice said, when man pulled a gun on him and said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Glory, I'll be with the Lord. The guy put the gun away and walked out. Because he thought John Rice is going to even have fun in death, because he knows Christ, the resurrection and the life. Amen. What a blessing. So he continued. The prophet continued making the predictions. 70 years in Babylon. The prophecy that is shared in the potter and the clay. Things are going to be ruined, but the potter's hand is going to refashion. He predicted the new covenant and the second coming of Christ, the righteous branch. And
Or the first coming and the second coming of Christ, let's say. The prophet prolonged his sufferings. He continued to suffer through all of these events. Chapter 14, verse 17. I'll just give you one verse quickly there. Chapter 14 and verse 17. The prophet's sufferings. The old paths do lead to the cross. The old paths take you through the Calvary Road with sufferings and trials and testings. But they're all designed in the hand of God to develop us in godliness. So his sufferings were prolonged, and he cried out to God in these times. Chapter 14 and verse number 17. He did not become bitter. His emotions are poured out to God. And he did not become bitter with his situation or with the people. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Or the prophet wanted God to remember him, that he had suffered so. God knew that. The Lord knew it. He knew the way that he would take. He knew his life, and he led him all the way. So we see that his compassion for the people grew through his difficult times and his sufferings. Tears, but not bitterness. His personal life was one of a relationship with God and a crying out to the Lord. Always maintain a good daily relationship with God. That's part of the old paths. We find that then Jeremiah, being taken down to Egypt, was then further treated badly and then stoned to death. What a way to go, amen? The promised land of glory. Don't feel sorry for Mr. Jeremiah, even though he didn't have a wife and so forth. Don't feel sorry for him. He walked the Calvary Road. He walked the way that the Lord had for him. And he discovered the blessing and power of God to lead him all the way. His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What a wonderful Saviour we have. And so we see that Jeremiah then did not give up. He did not fall by the wayside. He did not fall for the new things. He walked in the old paths. That's the good way, the Bible says. Walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Oh, the number of people that have fallen by the wayside. Why? Because they would not walk in God's ways. They went off in different tangents and different sins in life that destroyed them and ruined their relationship with God and their effectiveness in the Lord's work. So find your grace and strength in the Lord. Find God's blessing. Find God's enabling. Stand up for the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Stand for the Lord. And having done all, to stand. Stand in the old paths. And God will bless you for that. You may be called a few names along the way. Traditionalist. They called me a traditionalist. They said, you're Catholic. Catholic? I said, no, why? Ever called? You're Catholic because you like the old traditions. Not the traditions of Rome, friends. Continuing the traditions of the Lord and of the apostles. Doctrine. Oh, they'll call you all sorts of things and give you a bad time. But remember, God is with you. And he's going to strengthen you to stand. And I have no doubt about that at all in these days of difficulty. God is going to strengthen his children, and they are going to stand. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land. I will stand for the Lord. Be what he wants you to be. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Lo, I am with you always. We as the believers in Christ can rely upon him. His grace and his power is sufficient. And that you can continue to the end for his glory. Continue in the things thou hast learned. There's nothing out there in taking a curved ball or turning aside. There's nothing for you there. But sorrow and tears and disappointments. Better off to follow the good paths that are old and tested and tried and have been proven by those that have gone on before and taken them safely to glory. And they'll take you to safely to glory as well as you follow the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this challenge to the old paths. We have beat around the bush, as it were, a little bit tonight, Lord. But I pray that your people would be made aware of their need to select and to commit to the old paths, to commit to the ways of surrender, to commit to the potter's hand, to return from backsliding if necessary, to preach the word of God, all the counsel of God, wherever he might call you. There is a call also. Is there a young Jeremiah in the meeting tonight? Jeremiah started out as a young man, just a kid. If you hear the voice of God and surrender to him like Samuel of old, say to the Lord, here am I, Lord, send me. Father, we pray your blessing upon this invitation time now, however Pastor would lead. We pray your blessings and help us to be true and faithful and to continue. In Jesus' name, amen.